We have a continuation of the inyan that most people find very vexing, and I'd like to be masbir it a little bit more carefully, at least ani hakotan, how I understand it, but not, we're not paskening here halachas, halacha lemaisa. We're not paskening halacha lemaisa. We have a mashal, a dugma of what I was talking about, not legabe the global picture, but legabe a specific inyan in the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim has in Simen Yud Ches a long arichus about Hilchus Tefillah. It's a little bit different than his typical Simen. Sai Mitzad, it's incredible length. And Sai Mitzad, that it's really an organization of halachas that would pass more in a halacha Sefer than in Sefer Chassidim.
What Simen was it?
Simen Yud Ches. 18. And this Simen Yud Ches was quoted by Arichus, almost copied verbatim, by a number of Sfarim, including the Eliyahu Rabbah, and this is a whole compendium of halachas, which how a person's supposed to prepare for tefillah, and how he's supposed to daven, and so on. It's mostly about the hachonah to tefillah and the Shmon Esrei halachas. But one of the things he writes is, "Ba'erev samuch lizman hatfilah, lo yikach adam yeled b'cheikai." You shouldn't take a baby into his lap because the baby might dirty him, and of course, he'll have a problem. He'll gotta be davening. Ve'im toima yechapsim b'mayim. So maybe he'll go wash his clothes. He has enough time to do that. Afal pikein lo yinakem kibitchila, but it won't be as clean as before. So what is basically, this is not the Nakuda that I'm mentioning. I'm just reading the beginning of the shtickle. Va'od, next, Shema ba'od shi'achapes acha hamayim. In those days, they didn't have a laundry machine that you could just throw it into. So in the attempt to get it clean, tava sha'as hamincha, oy benkach u'benkach yoymu kadish v'lo yuchal anisamin. So Bekitza, he tells you that you should be careful and anticipate problems before they exist, so that you should get to shul on time and be able to daven correctly. Now comes the line that I am interested in, legabi this shir. He says as follows. Oishema yivke hayeled kasher yirtze lohanichoy, v'yachmel olav v'lo yochush al kvoit koinoy, v'lo yelech klal lebeis haknesses. A very interesting thing. He says, what's going to happen is you'll take the baby and you'll diaper him and you'll powder him and you'll clean him, and then you'll say, okay, I'm going to shul. And the baby will say, you can't abandon me. And the baby starts to cry, and where is the mother? She may not be there at the moment. Obviously, he's not leaving the baby alone. Whoever's taking care of the baby is not the same as the father, or maybe the baby at that moment wants the father more than the mother, which happens on occasion, especially when the father is ready to go to shul. And the yachmol olav, and he's going to miss the davening altogether. What happens in such a case? What happens in such a case is a normal mensch has rachmanis on a person, has rachmanis on children. Again, what's the Torah all about anyhow? So a big deal, so I'll daven at home. I'll daven at home. Meanwhile, the baby won't cry. And meanwhile, the davening at home generally take off kaparas. Very rare that a person davens more bekavana in his house. And for states of the baby is going to be next to him, and half an eye is going to be on the baby, and half an eye is going to be on the davening. This is the nekuda in microcosm of what I'm talking about on the normal level. What I mean to say is this. The examples that we had and that we are going to speak about a little bit more today are examples of Gedolei Olam, Tzadikei Hador, people from thousands of years ago, Lemaisa. You're talking about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the Baal HaMasaira. We all need Pivanu Chayim Vesmeimu Banu Shoisim until today and Adli Maisa Mashiach Va'ad Bechlau. So, we're going to compare ourselves to Rabbi Akiva, and also the extreme. We'll talk about that extreme much more in a moment. But that extreme is not our Dalet Amos experience. The concept, however, the concept itself of achzorius in that quotation mark sense exists almost on a daily basis. It means the question is as follows. We have this expression, being balabatish, being normal. Being normal is a very big inyan. I always tell over the meister that I heard, I wasn't there and I don't know if it ever happened. But that's what I heard. That a certain fellow, and I believe I mentioned it over the last over the tkufa that we're learning together, I mentioned it maybe more than once. There was a fellow that had suddenly, sitting and learning Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, a fine avrech, a younger man, and he's sitting and learning, and it got himself in his head that he is on the madrega, and he feels like doing the following. He wants to learn a whole day in talis and tefillin. He comes to his mashgiach in the yeshiva, and he suggests that he wants to know what is the mashgiach's opinion about this. So the mashgiach says, listen, I'm not in a madrega to be able to evaluate this for you. And I would suggest that you go to an Odom Godel and discuss it with him. So who do you suggest, he asks him. So he says, someone like Rav Scheinberg, Zolzayin Gesunden Shtag. So he was mamish in seventh heaven. Why? Because as you know, Rav Scheinberg sits in Talis and Tefillin all day. So he's ecstatic that he picked that person, Bedafka. And so he goes to Rav Scheinberg and he waits his turn and he gets, Rav Scheinberg says, what is it? He tells him the whole thing that he has a psacheshek, he's encouraged, he feels that he's roi lekach and it's time for such a thing, and he thinks it's going to be a very big plus in his avodas Hashem. He makes a pitch for putting on talis and tefillin in the morning and wearing it the entire day. And the whole day he's in the yeshiva. So they say that Rav Scheinberg grabbed him by his lapels and started shaking him back and forth. Why can't you be normal? Why can't you be normal? So what's the pshat normal? That's what I want to discuss a little bit. What does it mean to be normal? So the Teretz is, number one, a person has to know that what he's doing is truly and genuinely l'shem shamayim. Now, L'shem Shamayim is a code word for a whole list of requirements. Number one, there's no element of personal kavod or aggrandizement or being superior to somebody because you're different in a positive way. That's not the reason you're doing it. Number two, it's not because everyone else is doing it. Number three, it's really with an understanding and appreciation that who you are and where you are at that moment, this is a trajectory going upwards. And you should know, going upwards slowly. The Shir HaMalos that we all say, Miyal Bahar Hashem U'miyokum B'mekom Kotchay. The Miyokum and the Miyal are not, as I understand it, something that is one jump, and then you're there, and the question is, are you going to be able to remain there, or are you going to fall back down? That is, Avad Givis, true, but it's not true as a one-time thing. Shir HaMalos is, you go from Madrega to Madrega. In each Madrega, Zehirus Mevi Lides Rizus, and so on. In each Madrega, whether it's the Brice of Pinchas Ben Yoyah that led to the Mesilas Yesharim, Torah Mevi'o Lidei, that's the Gemara of the Zohar's Lashon. Torah, and the Hakdama of the Mesil Sisharim quotes that. He assumes Torah, that's why it starts from Zahirus. But Torah Mevi'o Lidei Zahirus, and Zahirus Mevi'o Lidei Zvizus, and so on. Until you get to the highest levels. Each one of those Madregas, as in the case of a scale of steps, where you go from one step to the next, and you pause and rest before you go to the next step, every single madrega has a miyale and a miyokum. And that's a critical nekuda. A person who wants to steig and grow has to make sure that he has everything down pat on the madrega that he's on, that he's fought his battles, that he's conquered his yetzaharas, and that he is in a, I don't mean to use a peculiar term, but in a certain kind of comfort zone, that is who he is right now. And that's very, very important. There's no such thing as making believe and mimicking and you know, acting like somebody on Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, and the next day you're back to where you were. That's nothing. In fact, it might be counterproductive. You know, and when people speak about the chumrah of the day or chumrah of the week, there are two kinds of people. There are some people that are just nasty people who don't like Eden and don't like B'nai Torah especially. So they talk about the chumrah of the week club. But there are also people who understand that you can't just jump on a bandwagon because it's there and then assume that everything is Shalom al Yisrael. You have to be able to integrate what you've learned, what you've become has to be you. They tell a maisa with Rav Soloveitchik, which is meinyan leinyan, but it's an interesting thing. It's the same idea. People have hergeshim. We don't know what to do with our hergeshim most of the time. Yiddishkeit is not very much into hergeshim of the moment. It's like the flavor of the moment. Why? You know, there's a certain time you want to decorate your house, so everything had to be mauve. All of a sudden, mauve is out of fashion. You stick to white and to black and to gray and to whatever. You never get lost. The point is that hergeshim are very ephemeral, very fleeting. But more than that, they're very rarely substantial in terms of the makairis of Yiddishkeit. Feelings do not necessarily cooperate with the Torah, even though it appears that those feelings are to enhance and to elaborate what the Torah wants of you. Sometimes the day-to-day grind of Torah is not as gishmak or as sweet-tasting in the mouth of the person who doesn't fully comprehend what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from that person. And Memela, they're always looking for that little extra, you know, icing on the cake, which is normally not part of the Yiddishkeit that is basic and fundamental. And Memela, it has to be worked. Because Ikar Chaser Min HaSefer, the mainstay, is always boring. The mainstay is traditional. The mainstay is routine. I'm looking for something that's a little exotic, a little bit different, a little bit that gives a spice to my life. So there was this lady that came to Rav Soloveitchik, and she says, an Orthodox lady. I won't give her any brands, you know, this kind of Orthodox. An Orthodox lady is Shomer Shabbos. So she comes to shul every Shabbos. She got an idea into her head that she wants to wear a talis. She has this feeling that wearing a talis is going to make her much more spiritual and much closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, I wasn't there, but this is how I heard the story. Not from him. I heard it from others. So she came first to the Rav of that shul. The Rav of that shul said, again, this is out of my league. In this particular case, I just think he wasn't interested in getting involved in such an inyan and being responsible for what he says to her, one way or the other. So he says, you have to go to Rabbi Soloveitchik. This lady was living in Boston. You go to Rabbi Soloveitchik. So she goes to Rabbi Soloveitchik and she says, she again repeats the whole thing. Rabbi Soloveitchik says to, you know, everything has to be in stages. First put on a talis without tzitzis and see how you feel. And after that, you come back to me. And then we'll go to the next step. So, 2 or 3 weeks later, she's been wearing this talis, and she comes back to Rav Soloveitchik, and she says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, you don't know what's happened to me. I'm a different person. I've been elevated spiritually beyond recognition, almost. I mean, even my husband says that I'm a different person already. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says, don't you ever dare put on a talis. The definition of a talis and the whole spiritual quality of a talis is when it has tzitzis. Otherwise, it's what we call a shmata. And therefore, if you feel that sense of elevation, it doesn't have anything to do with the mitzvah, and it's not the spirituality of the Torah. It's tam gedrei takop. And the mela, forget about the whole thing. That's what I heard. The point of it is the same, though. You can't look for the exotic and for the strange and for the different, because that is not routine, and therefore it's not typical, and therefore it's not boring. The essence of Yiddishkeit can never be boring, and if it is, then the chesaron is in the person's relationship to the Aleph Beis. And if you don't have the relationship with the Aleph Beis, you don't look for the Greek alphabet, you understand? You look to fix the Aleph Beis. That's what you do. So Memela, all of this, you have to understand that Madregas and Madregas and Madregas. When a person comes to the question of Parnassa, when a person comes to the question of Limud HaTorah, the question is what is ideal and what is ultimate, maybe beyond the level of the person where he is at that moment. and striving for that and reaching out for that has a falseness if it's premature, if it's too little, if it's too early. It has a falseness to it, and it can never be successful. So a person that comes out of the blue and tells his wife that he wants to now go off and learn for the rest of his life 20 hours a day, so you have to be very suspicious about something like that. Then there's something else that's me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa'inyan, very important. In the concepts that we mentioned last time, we spoke about very extreme privation. We spoke about how the wife is willing to suffer such privation. And we spoke about Rachel, the wife of Rabbi Akiva, that her lot was infinitely harder, and she accepted it ba'ava atzuma ad miyayit. In an analogous way, at the end of the 15th perek in Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam establishes a series of halachas back to back. And the Rambam speaks about the husband's responsibility to the wife and the wife's responsibility to the husband. You have to understand that for the wife to have those feelings, which are very demanding on her, that he's supposed to be in her eyes like a sar or a melech, he has to be like a sar or a melech. Analogous to this, if a wife is expected to be meiser nefesh, whether it's privation or working hard to provide the parnasa, then the husband's learning and his attitude towards learning and his vision of his life has to be corroborated in the full text of what it is that we're talking about. So therefore, there's no such thing as learning in Kailo and having a nice car and having a fancy house and expecting to marry a shver or a parent, if he's lucky to born into it, that can support all of this, and then make demands and expectations which are beyond that hasaga because you're sitting and learning the whole day. Because the vision of the Ben Torah who's learning, if it's pasba melach toicha mayim b'mesura tishte, and if the limud ha-Torah is so paramount that even if a person went and offered him money to leave it, tons of money, he would say, are you crazy? It's ois v'mchaye yoylem v'oiskim b'chaye shoh. What's money? I have to sit and learn. I have to steig. And he doesn't waste a minute. And he comes out of the Beis Medrash, Sameach v'toiv leiv. And he chaps a quick lunch, and 10 minutes later he's back in the Beis Medrash, and you can never catch him levatola. And he's learning, and he's steiging, and he's besimcha. Such a person, you want to take care of him, you want to support him, you want to cherish what he does, and you're willing to suffer ad kedei kach. That's the greatest. That's the ideal. But to make believe that you have that ideal, while at the same time gnashing from olam hazeh at every turn, that's not what we're talking about. That's hypocrisy. That's a stira minei obey. Now, don't get me wrong. Most people are on certain madregas, and again, it's that shir hamalis, miyokum b'mkoyim kodshei. And where people are is very nice. But that's not Rabbi Akiva and his wife. We should never mix the two together. So when a person has a requirement in the ksuba of taking care and making sure there's parnasa, and I give you the maisa with the kotzker, that kotzker chosid didn't waste a second. That kotzker chosid doesn't even want to stay to knock on the window, not because bitochen, 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 like it's some sort of a slogan or it's a game that you're playing. He lived that life. He was that message. He was the person that he's talking about in the Eitzah, Medaf Epistol, and he did. And he took it like, that's it. He was the message. He was the bitachon. There's no stira, there's no making believe, there's no acting. This is it. It's not because I saw it in some sefer, it's a nice thing to do, and people will be impressed. This is who he was. And if that's who he was, then he's entitled to it. The point that I'm making is this. The Torah is vast, and it has to relate to every single yid. Some people are on certain madregas, and the Torah talks to them. And it says to that person, you are mechuyev to learn kol ha-Torah kula. And for you to do anything else is mamish, it's a tragedy. You have the capacity, you have the ability, you have the cheshit, you have the kishrinus. Once we have that ideal, we are urged to push towards that ideal. when we are not cognizant that it's an ideal altogether, then the whole of Yiddishkeit has fallen apart. And that's really where the breach that happens at the outset is this breach of vision of Mesiris Nefesh V'Taira to an exclusive level. When you lose that collectively as a society, that's what it ought to be, then the society will not be able to remain even a semblance of Torah and mitzvahs. That is the beginning of the slippery slope. And I've always said this in Bechukosai Teilechu. I've said it here many times. Es mitzvah say tishmer, Bechukosai Teilechu, shetiyu amelim bat Torah. Tiyu amelim bat Torah is the definition of the Jewish civilization. It means that every force and every energy and every character trait and every strength and, you know, the kaikas that we have, our talents, our abilities, are all aimed to achieve that pinnacle, that top of the pyramid, which is called the Gadol B'Yisrael, the Tzadik Hador. And a vision like that does not mean that everybody's arriving at that pinnacle and at the same time and in the same way. And there's a huge infrastructure of support, but if the vision isn't there, then the whole pyramid collapses. And that's what happened in all the societies. There's a umchein on Torah. There's a lack of appreciation of a gadol b'Torah. There's a lack of an understanding that is our she'ifa and that is our goal. I'll give you another example before we get back to what I was trying to say about the Sefer Chassidim. Because the Sefer Chassidim is taking that concept and bringing it very much down to earth to us, to you and to me. You have, for example, in the entire Rambam, the most, you might say, extreme Rambam of all is a Rambam that every single Beis Yaakov girl is taught, and every single yeshiva bacher knows Kemat Baal Peh. Even though it doesn't necessarily relate to them, because it is the extreme of extremes. The Rambam says that there's something called Shevet Levi. Everybody knows that you're born into Shevet Levi. You cannot become a member of Shevet Levi unless you were born into Shevet Levi. So the Rambam says, if you're talking about biology, and you're talking about Trumas and Maisras, and you're talking about working in the Beis HaMikdash, you're right. When you're talking about taking a chelik in the Biza, taking a chelik in Karka of Eretz Yisrael, you are right. But you're not right if you're abstracting the concept of Levi. Because the concept of Levi is something that every single Yid can relate to and become an honorary member of Shevet Levi. What is the definition of an honorary member of Shevet Levi? Legabe what? So here the Rambam introduces an idea. He doesn't talk about it by Arichus, and because of that there's a lot of confusion. But the same Rambam that spoke about Parnosa, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Where did he talk about it? In the where he speaks about how critical it is to become a Talmud Chacham and to live a life of sacrifice and privation. There he says you have to have a Parnosa. All of a sudden, at the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, when he speaks about the honorary Shevet Levi member, he says the person can rely totally on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he does not have to do a stitch of work, and can trust that Hashem will provide. So everybody's confused about this, and everybody thinks that you're talking about the Kollel fellow who enjoys having a nice car, the one I spoke about before, and a very nice table spread on Shabbos, and he's not into eating potatoes, and he's not into a piece of jalopy that just gets him where he has to go, from one Kollel to the other. Because there, God will provide, is the old joke, I didn't know my Shver's name was God. You know, there's no such thing as God will provide, and then you live a life where, and you know what else? The Rambam, if you look at the Lashon HaRambam inside, and it's very easy to find, it's the end of Sefer Zroya, in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. So Shemitah V'Yovel, the Rambam says, at the end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, the Rambam says the following: HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for him davar hamaspig lo, what is sufficient for him. And it's crystal clear that in the same way that the Rambam understands, he's teaching us, that the bird in the tree is not going to get an ice cream cake, whatever that is in the bird, understanding the chashivst and nicest and fattest worm all the time. He'll have to sometimes satisfy himself with a little scrawny little worm, with a cake that isn't full of sugar and spice. But the Ribbono Shel'Olam provides, and the bird survives, and the bird prevails. The same thing with this fellow. Hashem will provide for him, but Dava Hamaspiklo. Now, what kind of person does that have to be? Who has the right to say, I will rely on Hashem? He says, Mi Shenodva Rucho, Vevino Mado, Parak Mimenu Ol Cheshbonos Harabim, Asher Choshvu Bnei Odom, Maholach Yoshok, Asher Asoy, Lakim, Posukim Kahelis, Lakim Osas Adam Yoshok, Vehim Bikshu Cheshbonos Harbe. And he abandons the narishkeit of the world and the perceptions of the world. And he basically lives in this world like a ben olam haba. And he has different perceptions about everything. And that determines that he is really removed from the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide for him. And he has total bitachon. And such a person, says the Rambam, is entitled to his bitachon. And does not have to do a stitch of work. We are not talking about a person who expects a kollel check for every month and starts asking, where is my check, when the person who's giving him the check is late. We're not talking about a person who has hasagas of olam hazeh, or somebody goes out in the middle of lunchtime and picks up his cell phone to check where their stocks are doing. And we're not talking about somebody that is living one foot in this world and one foot in the next world. He is completely immersed in the Ribbono Shel'Olam. How many people are there today that can be described as fulfilling the details, the fine details of that Rambam? So what? If we can't find such people, so what's the relevance of the whole thing? That's the vision. When the Rambam says, Parak mimenu v'holach yoshor k'derech shasol l'kim, the Rambam is telling you a philosophy that's mind-boggling. This is really the apex of the human condition. We don't have to get there because it wouldn't be natural to us anyhow. And very few people can reach such madrigas. But when they do, they become like Shevet Levi. And the concept of Levi, according to the Rambam, is because he can't benefit from the gain of people. That's why he's not allowed even to enjoy the spoils of war when the Jews conquer an enemy. Because that is Maisa Yodayim. This is Koichi V'Yotzem Yodi. And Levi is removed completely from that. He depends on others 100%. Memela, when you have Shevet Levi personality, you have to fit into that groove. You have to be that person before you can become a beneficiary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpa and Hashgacha. So why do we talk about these things all together? Because if we understand that Shetiyu Amelim Batayr, if we understand this kind of vision of the world is an ultimate understanding and appreciation, the whole of the civilization of Yiddishkeit pulls towards an ideal. But when you don't reach that ideal, you don't become the beneficiary of the ideal either. And I cannot expect of my wife struggle and privation, Yoimim V'Layla, for limited involvement in Torah while I am enjoying the trappings of life to the full. Now that is not to say that if a woman wants to support her family that she can't do that. But it has all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. And it's supposed to be Zel Umaseh. Let's go back to the Sefer Chassid. This person is not on that madrega, and he's not learning 24 hours a day. He's davening betzibur. That's it. And what the Sefer Chassidim is trying to say is that this midah of achzarius, which we find in the Gemara on Daf Chav Beis in Erevin. Daf Chav Beis in Erevin. Shchoiris ka'erev. That he tells her, aren't there kurmi ba'agma? So what does it mean that he told the kurmi ba'agma? Is that a nasty remark? is that, like, you know, I have a great perception of what Torah is all about, and for me, this is not a kasha why I'm leaving you to your own resources. But I'm surprised at you, my dear wife, that you don't have that hasara. That's not what it is. You don't talk to a wife like that. Certainly not Bali Madrega. You know what it is? Is that he's telling her the Rambam at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel. He says, look, if Torah is important enough to us that I can squelch, that I can shut off the valve of my Rachmanis, which is natural instinct, and which is a yesod, that we are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim, because I want to sit and learn, surely the Ribbono Shel will provide, and there are kurmi ba'agma, the pond is full of vegetables. He's not telling her, I don't care about you. He's telling her that this is our life. This is our madrega. Now, we are not into that madrega at all. We're so far below that madrega, it's mind-boggling. But that's the vision. So how does the vision reflect itself in real life? That's where the Sefer Hasidim comes in. He says, listen, you're on your way to learn. You're on your way to learn a shir. You're on your way to the daven b'tzibur. You're leaving the house. All of a sudden, the baby starts to cry. So, you miss that? Nichlu rachamo? You miss half the shir? Now, let me tell you something. You think it has to be a baby crying? It could be a wife calling you up. Don't forget to pick up something in the middle of your shopping. I'm not mechuyif to answer that in the middle of the shir. Or by after Ashri Volitzion, run out like a lunatic from shul because I have to take care of something. It's a matter of perception and orientation and the relative measure of things and their value. And it's a matter of how you gauge what is Ikar and what is Tafel. And when a person does not have that measure, because of course I have to answer the phone, of course I have to respond to my wife, of course I have to listen to her. Sometimes it's Pikuach Nefesh, but most of the time she'll be Meichel. We're talking most of the time normal mensch. So if that's the case, why am I doing all of that? Because I'm being normal. Understand, you know, Yiddishkeit does not really allow you to be that normal. You have to set goals and priorities and you have to be at a madrega. Sure. But once you're on that madrega, you're allowed to live that madrega. You don't have to be so totally absorbed with the here and now and the day-to-day. And you don't have to care so much about everybody else that you're undermining and ruining yourself in the process. Because in the final analysis, she needs a husband that davens b'tzibur. And she needs a husband that goes to shul. And the children need it 1,000 times more. So when that baby grows up, he needs to see that the father's meisa nefesh to go. And sometimes he sees it best when the father says, Yingala, I would love to do this for you, or play with you, or be with you, or whatever. The Gemara says, who will motive? No will motive. Depends who learns better. And even though I have a chiv to teach my son, if I learn better, who kind of would know? There's a certain responsibility for the around, for the surroundings, to allow the person to be as much of an Adam Gadol v'choshuv as he can become. And he has a concomitant responsibility to live up to the expectations that people have, but at the same time he also has a responsibility to himself. He's not allowed to have Rachmanus on this baby. And therefore, says the Sefer Hasidim, knowing human nature for what it is, and that we can't control our Rachmanus, and maybe you could even add Baruch Hashem, because it's a wonderful midah. But nevertheless, you're not going to end up going to shul. And you know, I just want to have a small corollary to that. He's not going to end up going to shul and he's going to be upset and angry and frustrated and he's going to take it out on the child and the family anyhow. He's going to come home and say, listen, to his wife, you're the one who's supposed to die for the baby, so I should be able to go to shul. And that's going to start a machlokes. The wife's not going to talk to him for another 2 weeks and that's Azegetus. So you can't you don't even win with such a thing, because in the end the person knows that that's his responsibility, gets frustrated that he didn't have a chance to accomplish what his goal was in Avodas Hashem, and because we are so limited, end up taking it out on somebody else, Shaloi Kedas v'Shaloi Kedin. This is the Nakuda. And that's why these little examples are so critical. The Arvei Nachal says a very beautiful thing. He in Toldus, in one of his drushes, he says, Eila Toldus Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holodus Yitzchak. Everybody speaks about that.
And we told Yitzchak and Avram Holodus Yitzchak.
And he speaks about people's nature and how they have to balance the forces in their nature. And he says that, you know, Midas Avram is Midas Avram, Midas Yitzchak is Midas Yitzchak. Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura. Chesed sometimes has to create Gevura, and Gevura sometimes has to create Chesed. The Midah itself needs to be supple enough that in the fulfillment of that Midah, you have to acknowledge another Midah. And the Midas HaRachman, what the Chelek that we're talking about today, is that the Midas HaRachman has to acknowledge the Midas HaGvura. Otherwise, Rachamim is off the charts. And it interferes with a person's agenda because there are always conflicts and there are always moments where you could be doing something else and maybe it's easier and more user-friendly. And it's dafka then when the Midas HaRachman needs the Midas HaGvura. His lashon is Avram himshich kedushas hachesed ha'elyon Yitzchok midas ha'gvura Yaakov midas ha'emes kiyadua u'bechol echad me'elu ha'kedushos mukrochim anu lavod Hashem Yisbarach she'etzorich la'asos chesed l'nafsho yuluchol odom. Yeah, and then he says on the other hand we would have said if that's the case how could you ever say mi'ikakur mi'ba'agmi u'vegam k'moy sh'omar Rabbi Ploini, doesn't say who it is. Ikakur mi ba'agmi, ve'ein ha'toyrim iskayemes al b'mishanasa achzori albonov ka'oriv midazu ha'inu gvura. Ela shalachoyra yipolei eich mokoim lachzori yuskozeh. He says, that's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is Rachmanos, he says. Where do you come to that? He doesn't mean the way he spoke. He means the point. How could you leave her like that? What happens if she doesn't find kur mi ba'agmi? So he says, Adarabba, Achzorius zu noilad mitzad achesed shetzorich lasos lenafshoi veruchoi venishmosoi lavet Hashem tomid. Ze molid ha achzorius hazos. He says, not only is it not a stira, it is inherent. That's his chiddush. Vezeu ha remez Avraham hoilid es Yitzchak. Because true rachamim is on the Ribbono Shel Olam, on Yiddishkeit, on Klal Yisrael, and on my neshama. And if a person has more rachamim on that baby than on all of this, that's not the rachamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking for. As long and provided for as it is not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not rachamim, it's not gvura, and it's not chesed. It's baloney. And hypocrisy is something that is pretty easy to figure out. Because you look at the total picture and you see what we're talking about. And that is the nekuda. You cannot have expectations of somebody else that you are not living up to yourself, and vice versa. So there are all kinds of jokes. I asked a fellow, what kind of wife are you looking for? So he says, I'll describe it. There was a mice on the highway. I saw on the other side of the highway, I saw a lady with a shekel changing a tire. Lady changing her tire, says, Azah Shvel Azah. I decided, you know what? I'm going to help her out. So he goes around and he gets off on the exit, goes to the other side, gets on the exit, goes to the side where she's parked, on the side of the road, behind her, and he asks her, is there anything that I can do for you? She says, shh, don't talk so loud. My husband is sleeping inside. So that is not what we are looking for. That is not what we are looking for. And that's the nekuda. You see, the nekuda is, there's a lot of stuff that's going out there under the guise of this and that, that is not at all real. And that may be necessary. It may even be necessary because, you know, a thing that's alive has a lot of stuff in it. The stomach also has a lot of things that we call words that you can't say in the best medrash. But it's in the stomach. And if it's not in the stomach, there's something wrong because nobody's a malach. And society is also not a malach. And sometimes the negatives that you see are fallout of a reality that is really extremely positive. But it's important for a person to know when he's talking about his body, what is this and what is that? That's the point. And when you start confusing the picture and not realizing what's essential and what's coincidental, it might be necessary in a sociological sense because it's fallout. That's the way a human being works, and that's the way the body politic of Klal Yisrael works. The ideal has to be there, but it has to be understood that Yechidei Sgula arrive, and the definition and the picture that's portrayed is dafka consistent to the whole apparatus of the family, of the person, of his schedule, and on and of his value system. If you find that kind of a person, he's a person who's entitled to say, I will rely completely on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's a person entitled that he gets married and the wife knows who he is, that they are living that kind of life. And that's the nekuda. So when you ask, what about the requirements of the ksuba? Everybody understands that if she's on the same page, she's maskim, that those requirements are in principle, and she is willing to yield to a higher level of avodas Hashem, not to have that requirement lamaisa. And that's the nekuda. So if she has the right values and attitudes, by her, the fact that her husband, with sincerity and consistency, is such an unbelievable Oyver Hashem, is worth more than all the gold and silver that he could bestow upon her. That's the point. And that's why she was living with shmatis, Rachel. She didn't have a dress to put on. You know, human nature is what it is, and it's very hard to deny. Women like clothes. The Metzius, that's how Hashem made them. Much, much more than men. It's interesting, Bionis Neipschitz, in one of his in Yaris Dvash, one of his drushes, he speaks about these people are totally preoccupied with their wigs and look in the mirror the whole time to fix them and then you find out that he's talking about men. In those days, you know, they wore wigs. And he's talking about the women. He calls them the peruk. You know, a peruk. Yeah, very interesting. So, the mitzvah, but you ever see a bar mitzvah bachur look in the mirror with his new hat? He can be there for an hour. Azoy. Yeah. Aber von deswegen, having said all of that, women are very into clothes. Now, for a woman, And you know, it's interesting also, the frumster woman, she gets dressed for the street, not for her husband. It's a fact, and there's nothing you can do about it. So like anybody has such a cholum that in the house she'll be dressed properly to excite her husband and to look really sharp and good. And in the street she's going to look like somebody like, you know, that nobody wants to have anything to do with. You can forget about that. That is a fantasy that comes from another Medina. This is human nature. And therefore, you have a concept of a Rachel Eishes Rabbi Akiva, which basically denies almost every aspect of human nature. That she's not interested in clothes when she grew up in such an environment, that she doesn't have a decent beged to greet her husband, the Gadol Hador. This is mind-boggling. But for us to say that we are on that madrega because, what? Because we don't buy 10 dresses, we only buy 7. I mean, you have to understand where we are and what, and that has not gaminus. But the value system, if chas v'shom we ever suggest that that's not a derech, or that's not an ideal, then we are all in trouble. But you have to know who you are. That's a very, very critical nekuda in this whole inyan of Achzorius. There was a gadol that... His name was Matisyo Hayitzari. He was in Aragon in Spain in the 1400s, substantially before the Girush, and we don't know too much about him, but his Sfarim are being published. So with the Sefer Pikiyovis, and he mentions this Chazal also, and he says as follows. The Omru Shom La'avo Es Hashem Shema Toima Hareini Loimid Torah Kedesha Kori Rebbe, very famous Chazal. Kedesha Akabel Schar La Olam Abba Talmud Loima La Ava Kol Ma Shatem Oisim Loitasu Ela Me Ava Vinei Omru Kan Besimcha Nichlal Boze She Yosir Me Olav Yegonos Chisoran Anius Ushar Inuyim Vesigufim Im Yeshlo. Now this is an amazing thing. He says that Daigas HaParnosa undermines your capacity to learn. Now, I don't know in the years 1400 in Spain, but Lamaisa can't be much better than we have it today. And Daigis HaPanos is something that's universal. So how do a person say, I'm going to dispense with my Daigis HaPanos? Mi'ikakur mi'ba'agma. Do you know what kind of a madrega it takes? You see, that I'm trying today. It's not an antidote to last time. It's just to complete the picture. When we speak and we quote such a chazal, wow, we're eating a nice sandwich with seven different layers of oishnit,
of cold cuts.
You know, and you're saying, you know, look at that madrega. That's where we should be. The guy is eating, you know, he's clearing chakiris. When do I have to bench? Two slices of pizza, one slice of pizza, or three slices of pizza? And he's quoting this Gemara. And while he's talking to his chaverim, you know, oh, that's really, you know, that's what we have to expect from our wives, that they should be willing to live such a life of privation. Meanwhile, he's into, you know, this particular pizza, it's not as good as the pizza of the guy next door, but if you want really, really good pizza, you got to go to Borough Park to this and this place. So you understand very well what we're talking about. We're talking about a person's loy mineva, loy mitzasi, not even though it doesn't understand b'chlal, who this gadol was that's masking to live that kind of life for himself, and the kind of learning that he does, that he's able to expect that from his family. But when you are on that madrega, again I repeat, when you are on that madrega, then daigas hapanosa is actually undermining your ability to learn. And you can have a gadol in his time who says it b'fem ole. Do you know why he told him yikakuni ba'agma? Because for him to have to go out and find a panasa for his family would have been a tremendous shter. But it's not just the act of doing it, the time that's quote-unquote wasted. It's the concern. You have to convince yourself that they will manage without you. And that is almost shalom. It's keneged the teva. People are born to take care of others. And that is the fundamental concept of husband and wife and family. You're almost denying what is sacred for the sake of something that's more sacred. And for that, you have to be on that madrega. You cannot say, talk the talk. You can't just talk the talk. It's dangerous and it's counterproductive and misleading to the extreme. But you always have to know that that's the ideal, and that's why the society has to aim towards it in a very deliberate Shir HaMaalos struggle to reach the next madrega, which is the step before the next step before the next step, the last step of which on that ladder is this concept of mi'ikakur mi'ba'akma. Whereas in another society, they'd say the whole thing is crazy, and you have to take care of your family, and that is the ideal, and going off into outer space is not something that a human being is ever expected to do. That's the point. So he says, this is his lashon. Why does it have to be Yosim Atzmoy Achzori Albonov Ka'irev? Sheim Lokein Yisbalbel Be'iyuno V'hu Kamosh Amar Av Papa Ikori. Right? He quotes a chazal in Ein Oimdim, Ein Ashchina Shoyra Mitoich Atzvus. You hear Amaisa? What he's doing is connecting that whole inyan to the feelings that a person has that undermine his Simcha Satayra. So how do you have Simcha Satayra? By psychologically superimposing a certain value system which is not normal for the human being to feel. It's not normal. Normal is to take care. Normal is to worry. Normal is to care about. And he has to be a mi'ika kurmi ba'agma person so that he can maintain his level of simchas hatayra, which is an absolute sine qua non requirement in order for him to shtag. Now, there's that kind of asoga. You have to be on the madrega and you have to be consistent with that madrega. For a person to adopt such a vision for others when he himself is fraught with stiris mineu bei, you know, what did the Brisker Rav say when they asked him to be so nervous about baking matzahs? It's not normal. Is that what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from you? So he says, everybody's nervous, but it depends what you're nervous about. That person who's talking the talk of mi'ika kurmi ba'agma, and he's supposed to have simchas hachayim, and then he worries that his portfolio is going down in the dumps because the market fell apart that day or that week or that year, he's not on that madrega at all. He's fantasizing. And when you're not in the Madrega, you really have no right to say that. That's my point. Because you're not really saying what it is. You're saying something else entirely. You're saying, I don't care about you, and you take care of me rather than I should take care of you. There's no such thing in Yiddishkeit. But when you are that person, then Yiddishkeit says, Adarabba, that's even an ideal. So that was the point that I'm trying to make, to, you know, to complete the circle, as it were.